their classroom.
Okay. I'll look out. God bless you. While we're all still kind of mulling around, the children can now be dismissed to the classroom. In the back, just head on out and find your place back there. Kids, just go ahead and have fun. All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Good to be able to share with you all the stuff that we share together. I'm glad for some friends here this morning that I have. We got a guy all the way, he drove all the way from Newfoundland just to be with you. Disciple Ronnie. And this morning, another one drove from Guelph down that area just to be with you this morning. Stevie-o, God bless you. And I spent some time with these guys, some of them yesterday. And how many of you have ever heard the term, man, is your name ever mud? Have you ever heard that term? Yep. Well, yesterday, these guys told me my name was Mud. That's usually not so good. And I'll let them ask you about that, or you ask them about that. Okay, you're going to get it anyway. Yep, I really wrecked somebody's turf yesterday. So they called me Striker Muds. Thank you, everybody. Anyway, it's good this morning to come and worship the Lord and spend time together with Him and just be blessed. We're blessed by an awesome God. I'm going to talk about generosity as our norm this morning, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to chapter 6 of Mark, verses 30 to 44. This is the second time in a row for me. I put a PowerPoint together. I took all that time and put it together, and I got here, and it's missing off my memory stick, so I don't know, mud. Yeah. So, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And here's how it reads. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, and so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate, were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. That's just the men. Don't marry the women and children add to that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we're so blessed today to be able to share your word together, and we pray that you will teach us through it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, generosity is our norm, and that is one of the points that is on our sheet back here. And so first of all, When we talk about generosity, when I say generosity, something goes through your mind. But what does generosity really mean? Generosity means this. It means readiness or liberality in giving. Freedom from meanness or smallness of mind or character. Freedom from that. So it means that you kind of like want to build relationships with people. You want to give liberally, whatever that might be. You want to give it out. And when we talk about generosity, the first place that I go to is Jesus, of course. Of course it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through your poverty you might become rich." Now, Jesus gave up the riches of heaven for you and me. That's what he did. And that is generosity. To give up what he gave up for you and me. So the writer Paul understood that the self-giving love of Christ revealed the heart of God as a heart of extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity. When I think of the word extravagant, I see that as something that's going beyond what is deserved or even justifiable. Jesus gave up that which we didn't deserve for us. He gave up which wasn't even justifiable. When you think of something that's justifiable, you think like it. You can come up with good reasons for it. It isn't even justifiable that Jesus gave up for you and for me. He gave up the riches of heaven for you and for me. That's not justifiable because, you know, we were enemies with him when he gave up his life for us. The people of this earth really didn't too much care. And he gave his life for them. He gave his life for us. And Paul invites us to personify the generous character of God revealed through Jesus. To be what Jesus was, to follow after what, literally, what we've already talked about this morning is be a disciple of Jesus and be like Jesus. And if you look what it cost for your redemption, if you look what it cost for your salvation, you will understand what generosity is. You'll know what it is. Jesus suffered so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be reconciled to God. That is, he brought us back into a relationship with God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Jesus denied himself. He denied himself in order to lavish us with grace. His body was broken so that you and I could be made whole. And when you think about that, what God went through for us, we can understand that he is extravagantly generous. In the life of Jesus, it's characterized. His life is characterized by generosity. And then the call to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means generosity is a matter of discipleship. It is. To follow him, it's discipleship. Jesus calls us to be followers and do as he did. And we therefore are to not deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. The story in Mark chapter 6 and 30, which we've read already, tells us how Jesus and the disciples went to a remote place. And Jesus was teaching a large crowd of people. And it was late in the day. And I try to imagine this and picture all of this. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "It's already very late. Send the people away so that we can go and get some rest. They're hungry. Let them go around the countryside to the villages and let them buy themselves something to eat." But his answer to them was not send them away. His answer was give them something to eat. You give them. They're hungry. Give them something to eat. And they said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are you really wanting us to go and spend that much money on bread to give these people to eat? Is that what you want us to do, Jesus?" You know what, this morning, I can really identify with the disciples. I don't know about you. I get to identify with the disciples really well. The disciples have been through so much by this time. They have been through the situation with John the Baptist. They've dealt with his death. His head was served up on a platter. And they were going to a place to be alone. I mean, they had been busy all day with Jesus, serving Jesus, being with people, and they needed some rest. They wanted to get away from the hosts of people that were dogging them, that were all around them. But as they left and they were heading for that place of rest, the people saw them, and they followed them. You see, these people all had issues, they had needs, they had problems. And this is the same for all of us. We have needs, issues, problems. And here's what happened, that these people didn't want to let go of those. They needed those things met, and so they followed. They were really like, deal with me, help me. I don't care how tired you are. Please look after the need that I have. That's kind of the attitude of the people. And isn't that attitude of people today? And nothing wrong with that, by the way. That is their attitude, and that's how we are. How many of you guys have come home from work to have your wife meet you at the door with a baby in her arms and saying, here, you take them. I just need a minute of peace. Anybody? I see a few hands, yes. You know, when people are in need, they kind of need a break and they kind of need help. The Bible tells us that the disciples found that they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm with the disciples on this again. Like, Jesus, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we read how Jesus took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, and he broke them, and he gave them to the disciples. Here, pass these out. And they passed it out. You know the story. They passed them out to the hungry crowd. They did what they could do. I want you to hear that this morning. They did what they could do. They did what they could do with what they had. And here's what this morning, in the hands of Jesus, a little bit is enough. A little bit is enough. There are so many things that we can do under the heading of faithful discipleship. Our stewardship in giving, our sharing of our time, sharing of our talents, training children in various ministries, volunteering to serve the poor, sharing in a visitation ministry. Faithfulness, you see, faithfulness is not based in our knowledge. It's not based on how smart we are or the great skill we have, but it's faithfulness is based on what we have already. That's what it's based on. As we are generous in ministry, in doing what we can do, we discover a blessing. We discover that God blesses us. In the hands of Jesus, a little is enough. Jesus said, the measure that you give will be the measure that you get. You will receive. Generous living reaps a harvest of love and kindness. Jesus also said, given it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. But we tend to want to hang on to what we have. That's our problem. So when we hear these kinds of teachings, we sometimes grumble. There was a pastor had a farmer friend in his congregation, and they were talking over the fence one day. And the pastor asked the farmer, Abe, if you had 100 horses, would you give me 50? And Abe said, certainly I would. The pastor said, if you had 100 cows, would you give me 50? And he said, of course, I'd give you 50. And then the pastor said, listen, if you had 2 pigs, would you give me 1? And Abe said, now, cut that out, pastor. You know I've got 2 pigs. You know, generosity sounds good in the abstract. If I had, I would do such and such. And many Christians picture themselves. I've had people say to me, man, if I had a big inheritance, or God forbid, if I won the lottery, I'd give half away. I would just bless people. I would just do all this stuff. That sounds good, but the other side of the coin is, a lot of fewer people will even give 1 pig out of 2. 1 pig out of 2. People often think the church is a money grabber. It's all the church wants. You talk to some people out in the street, all they think is the church wants their money. But we know that God's love is poured out on those who are being cheerful and joyous givers. That's what we do know. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus has said that he wants us to be people who have our joy complete and a joy that is full. And so God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to underline that for you this morning. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. That's what it says. And Paul helps us to understand that about our generosity, our giving is not to be forced. That's another important note for you this morning. Giving is not to be forced, because it tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, each of you must give as you have made up your mind. As you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he's telling us that, yes, it's a good thing to give, and you'll receive a blessing when you give, but don't give under compulsion. Don't give under compulsion. When somebody says, you just have to do this, you know, I don't know about you, but my little tentacles go up when somebody says that to me. You must do this. Little tentacles go up. What do you mean I must do it? Because God demands it. I want to tell you something. God doesn't demand it. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves somebody who gives out of a loving heart and a cheerful heart and is joyous as they do it. That's what God loves. That's not just your finances, by the way. But that's by every area of your life. That's what it's about. When we are generous, whether in a large way or a small way, a gift of friendship, a gift of support, a gift of money, you name it, whatever it might be, it all comes back to us somehow, in some way. Recently, I read about a highly successful businessman who was asked to make a substantial donation toward an urgent charity appeal. And the businessman listened to the case that was presented, and he said, "Now, I can understand why you've approached me. Yes, I do have a lot of money, and yours is an important cause. But are you aware that I have a lot of calls upon my money? Did you know that my mother needs 24-hour nursing care?" And the answer came back, "Oh, no, we didn't know that." He said, "Did you know my sister is struggling to raise a family of eight on her own?" And the answer came back, "Well, no, we didn't know this. Did you know that I have a son in a drug rehab clinic and another doing voluntary work overseas?" "Well, no, we didn't." He said, "Well, if I don't give them a cent, what makes you think I'm going to give you any?" But then there is the poor Haitian farmer who told this proverb, "The one who never eats alone will never go hungry." And that was his way of saying that when you share the little that you have, you will always have something for yourself. Paul said the same. He said, "When our hearts are rooted in God, trusting in God's faithfulness, you will always have enough to share." And notice what happens when we share. Everyone has enough and nobody suffers. Paul said, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity." You know, we feel so blessed when somebody gives us something, even the smallest thing. We feel so blessed. But you must know that there is also a blessing when we bless somebody else. We should always be listening to God for his direction for us to bless somebody else. You never know the value of even that small little thing that you do for somebody. You never know the blessing until you actually are a part of that. And some may say, "You know, but I don't have the resources to help anyone. I'm struggling just to survive myself." Well, I guess it depends on the resources you're talking about. We all have things around our homes that we never use. I bet if I came to your house, I would find a lot of things that you... If you come to my house, you'll find stuff. You'll find stuff we never use. We have all kinds of stuff around our homes, things that we just hang on to in case someday we might need it. Just someday we might need that. The fact is, you will probably never need it. And maybe it could be useful to somebody else. So let it go. Let it go. And to that, add that, God is your resource. It's God who is your resource. He will bless you as you bless other people. Some people don't believe that. But then they probably never tried it either. Herb Miller writes this. He says, giving is not so much a matter, an act of generosity, as it is an act of trust. We do not feel secure financially because we have. We feel secure financially because we trust God to continue providing what we need. I recently read what a pastor had to say. He said, I have a close treasured friend, and 1 year his wife gave him the assignment of providing entertainment for their 7-year-old son's birthday, and he sweated bullets about what to do. And he finally went and hired a clown. And he told me about watching that clown entertain the kids and enjoying their joy. My friend said, that's the best money I ever spent. Joy came in the gift of giving. That's how joy came. A lot of people don't understand that there is blessing in giving. In Luke chapter 6, 38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be measured back to you. You'll get it back again. And Jesus said in the book of Luke, when you give at a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. One of the big problems in our modern life is that we get captured by the cult. Are you ready for this? The cult of the mall. Captured by the cult of the mall. It's so easy to buy into the illusion that spending for something new can make us into something new. It's difficult to ignore these powerful false gods which appeal to our desires. Yeah. But instinctively, we know that great living comes from giving. Giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our possessions, including our money. Yeah. Jesus talked a lot about money in the Word of God. So many of Jesus' parables discuss the appropriate and inappropriate use of money. Because money has the power to help or hinder people from meeting the basic needs that determine the quality of their daily living. There's an old cartoon where a pastor stands in the pulpit speaking to his congregation. He says, I would like to remind you that when you are about to give, it is tax deductible. Cannot be taken from you, and is considered by some as the root of all evil. He's kind of like trying to pressure people into giving. There's so much more, though, so much more positive reasons for giving than that. We are blessed in our giving. We are blessed. We are enriched in giving. John Wesley said that if you have poor giving habits, you are robbing God. And Jesus went on much further than that. He said that if you have poor giving habits, you rob yourself. In the book of Acts, we read how the church experienced great power and great grace. It says there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. I'm not suggesting that you all go and sell all your stuff today and just, you know, give it away. That's not the suggestion, and I don't believe that that's what the Bible teaches us, by the way. But here's what I do know, is that God is generous. And when God's family gathers together, generosity erupts. Generosity happens. Their lives are characterized by generous living. And Jesus lived with extravagant generosity. His life defined generosity, and he gave his life. He gave his life in death for us. You see, the use of our financial resources is fundamentally a spiritual issue. That's what it is. It's a spiritual issue. And those who imitate Jesus by giving generously will grow in godliness as they grow closer to God in Christ. A spiritual life anchored in God is ultimately tied to generous living. And those who believed lived generously. They had great power and they had great grace because the use of their possession was freely surrendered to God's will, his purpose, and his desire. Without this attitude of generosity, There are aspects of the character of Christ which will never grow in us. If we don't have that generous heart, there are areas in your life that will never grow. But to follow Christ more closely is to grow increasingly into mature believers. The closer you follow Jesus, the more mature you will become. Stephen King is a famous author of suspense and horror novels that has sold over 350 million copies. I want to tell you something. I've never read a Stephen King book, only because somebody told me about the horror stuff in them, and I didn't want to affect my life with them, so I've never read one. You may not know, however, about 15 years ago, he almost lost his life. He was walking along a country road in Maine, and a van hit him and knocked him into the ditch. And his legs were so crushed, the doctors considered amputating his legs, but eventually they didn't. And since that time, he's been an outspoken advocate of generosity. I didn't say God, by the way, but generosity. And I want to read an excerpt from a speech he gave to the graduates of Vassar College. This is a part of what he said in his commencement address. He said, "I found out what you can't take it with you means. I found out while I was lying in the ditch at the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans, like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We all know that life is ephemeral, but on that particular day and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come into this world naked and broke. And we may be dressed up when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett is going out broke. Bill Gates is going out broke. Tom Hanks going out broke. Stephen King, broke, not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. And so we want to consider making our lives one long gift to others. All that lasts is what you pass on. We have the power to help. We have the power to change. And right now, we have the power to do good for other people. That's who we are. And I hope that's who this church is. A people who desire to help other people. And that's what this is about. Generosity is our norm. I'm not sure that it is at this point. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm just saying I'm not sure. But I hope that at least that's who we become. A people whose generosity is the norm. As we do good for others, I think you'll find in the end that you've got far more than you ever had, do more than you've ever dreamed. And those are great words from Stephen King today that we read, but they're only words. It's only words. What do they mean for us? What does his words mean for us? What does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be generous? Listen to these words from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to ask the team to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, our life is not just bound in dollars, but it's in the work that we do as we serve God, as we reach out to people. And so listen this morning. It's not about the amount that you have. It's about the joy of giving. Your life and everything, your time, things that you can give. Yes, finances, but also many other things that you can give by just caring for other people. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we're so blessed today that you have called us and that you care for each one of us and that you bless our lives. And this morning, as we come to the end of this time together, we pray that you will help us to understand how we can bless other people and that we will be able to keep our eyes and our ears open to see and hear what you see and hear. That as your Holy Spirit works within our hearts and ministers to our hearts, that we will be able to actually see where you want us to go and the things that you want us to do and the way that you would desire for us to bless those people who are around us, and especially those who are in need, to be able to reach out to them and touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit operating through our lives. And we thank you for that today. Thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank for the blessing of your word to us as we honor you in this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together this morning?